The scripture passage from today comes from Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Yes? Okay. Palm Sunday. We move ever closer to Easter. But before we get there, we must move through death and the cross. So what does Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, have to do with the theme for today, moving from power over to power with? The reason I've chosen to focus on the epistle scripture today is because Paul's hymn in the letter to the Philippians beautifully illustrates the humility of Jesus and his solidarity with humankind. I confess to being more of an incarnation rather than a resurrection person. To me, we wouldn't have the miraculous resurrection if we didn't first have the miracle of a baby. Emmanuel, God coming to be with us. While God's power is infinite and indeed does surround us, God humbled God's self as a human baby to come be with his people. God, as Jesus, relied on humans for his care and well-being as a child. He did not exert his power over people, but was served by them. Even his first miracle at the wedding in Cana was urged by his mother, Mary. Jesus begins his ministry at the behest of his human mother, power with. Sometimes I get these ideas in my head about Jesus in the Bible, and I wonder if I'm out to lunch. Is the scripture saying what I think it's saying? Did I think this the last time I read this? Does this text speak to us differently if we read it on Palm Sunday or on a Tuesday in July? This is part of the reason why I'm going to school, to answer all these kinds of questions. It's always such a relief when I start to do some research and I find that other more learned people than me think along the same lines that I do. This is also one of the things that I like about the Mennonite way of reading the Bible, that it is the community reading the Bible together that discerns what it means for us. I want to start by sharing some thoughts about this Philippian text from a Baptist preacher, Timothy Moore. He writes, "The hymn in Philippians 2, which may be the earliest statement about Jesus' death on the cross, omits typical concepts of substitutionary atonement. The hymn sees the cross within the story, that Jesus gave up the privilege of divinity to become human, and offers a fresh way to see the intersection of Jesus Christ, Jesus' death and Christian discipleship. The hymn, however, speaks not of sacrifice and suffering, but of God's willingness to give up privilege to create solidarity. For those with privilege to be of the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, they must choose not to exploit that advantage, but to empty themselves of it and collectively create atonement through solidarity with one another. So let's unpack that a little bit. What is this typical concept of substitutionary atonement? Basically, it's that Jesus died for us. Jesus suffers for us because of what we have done and in place of us. This is one of the reasons that I have struggled with, that I struggle with Easter. This emphasis on my sins being the reason for Jesus' death. This is not to say that we shouldn't think about our sinfulness or all the times that we as humans have messed up, because we do it a lot. But as Timothy Moore alluded to, we can see the cross as part of a larger story. The larger story of Jesus' death and life in solidarity with humankind. If we look at the word atonement, it originally meant at one ment, meaning in harmony or at one with someone. It is used to describe the redemption through Jesus' death and resurrection to reconcile the world to himself, and also the state of a person having been reconciled to God. So if we're in harmony with someone or reconciled with someone, there is the underlying notion that there is shared power, equality, and solidarity with someone. Power with. What does Paul's hymn say about Jesus? What is Paul urging us to do? Firstly, Paul says that we must adopt an attitude like Jesus. Easier said than done, I'm sure. But what is this attitude that Jesus had? The attitude in the hymn in Philippians, which Bible scholars describe as a hymn that would have been familiar to the early church. So Paul is using a familiar text and format to teach the church at Philippi. And Paul writes, though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit or grasp. Though Jesus has God's power, that is not what God or Jesus is doing here. It's not an attitude of power over. He came into the world as a vulnerable baby to be with humans. He did not use his heavenly power to lord it over humans, to reign on high like some glorious king. Another thing to note is that the listeners at Philippi would have been immersed in and surrounded by the Greco-Roman world, where the status of being equal to God was in effect the highest possible honor to which any human could aspire. But instead of pursuing that status, Jesus embraced the lowest honor and status in the universe as the form of a slave. Solidarity with the lowest status people. Power with. Verse 7 takes us all the way from the manger to the cross. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This one verse moves us all the way from Christmas to Easter. Paul has a knack for cramming a whole lot of theology into his letters. So Jesus has already descended from the realm of divine beings to be human, and then he humbles himself even further. The Believer's Bible Commentary suggests that Jesus' obedience should not be understood as a slavish virtue expected of slaves, but rather obedience here is, as elsewhere in Paul, an aspect of loyalty faith. So as Paul exhorts in the opening line of the reading today, that we should adopt the attitude that was in Christ. This attitude involves a loyalty faith toward God, an abandoning of privilege, and an emptying of our own ego. We must seek power with and not power over those around us? Can we strive for this emptying like Jesus? Can we empty ourselves of power and privilege? Can we demonstrate our loyalty faith and seek solidarity with those around us like Jesus? In the words of Tim Moore, if we are to be of the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, then let us, in the ways that we may enjoy privilege, choose not to exploit that advantage, but to empty ourselves of it and collectively create a solidarity with one another. This solidarity will not be accomplished by a single event, but by a lifetime of dedication. The cross was not the reason Jesus was exalted. He was exalted because a lifetime of incarnational experience. I've always thought about it this way. We are not saved by Jesus' death alone, but by his whole life. He doesn't just die for us, but he lives for us too. It is in his humble life, through his whole incarnational experience, that we learn how to be reconciled to God and in harmony with one another. It is Jesus' example of loyalty faith that we must endeavor to emulate. This is what Paul is urging the church of Philippi to do, and this is what we can also seek to emulate, to imitate. The hymn ends with God honoring Jesus and giving him a name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth might bow. As a result of Jesus' humility, sacrifice, and solidarity, he becomes the King and Lord to whom we bow. This Jesus Christ as Lord is not achieved through power over the people, but rather power with the people. We can see the solidarity that Jesus has with his people on his entry into Jerusalem that we are marking today. Jesus rides in on a donkey, not the most triumphal of animals. He might have made a bigger difference if he came in on that cheetah. Not only that, in all the gospel writers' account of Palm Sunday, Jesus says nothing. The crowds cheer and chant and wave branches and celebrate his arrival. But Jesus arrives humbly and silently. He does nothing to get the crowds going. He knows what's about to happen in the coming week, but the crowd doesn't. They are just happy and excited. The only words that Jesus utters are directed at his critics in Luke 19. The Pharisees ask Jesus to get his followers to settle down. And Jesus says, "I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout." Jesus is not trying to steal the thunder of the people. He is not making big speeches and rallying his supporters. He rides his donkey colt, knowing that he is about to really share in the suffering of God's people. God came into the world as a human baby to be at one with God's creation, in solidarity with God's creation. And I just want to end with a poem. It's a poem called Palm Sunday. It's written by a British poet named Jay Holm from his book called The Backwater Sermons. And I think the poem really does a good job of relating what we're celebrating on Palm Sunday and also the Jesus that's described in Philippians. So here we go, Palm Sunday. One day soon, they will ask what this means as he enters the city on a donkey for peace. Neither brought by a war horse or by his feet, on a path strewn with cloaks with palm leaves beneath. And the chaos he causes is a seismic event. There's no need to make speeches when you're heaven sent. And the leaders and rulers on the walls half bent look down at this man in triumphal lament. He wept for the city, and now that he's near, he rides without speaking, and still the crowds cheer. Clamoring loudly through danger and fear, the prophet called Jesus is here. He is here. His presence is preaching, but no one can know the reason he's come or the way that he'll go. And today, he just rides, gentle and slow, down the road, through the gates, over palm leaves. And so when they look at this day, beginning to see the way he fulfills each of these prophecies, they'll notice a quietness beyond all belief, God claiming this kingdom without having to speak. Amen.